Welcome to the final State Capitol Report of this year. I'm Keeley Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being with us here on The Morning Show. We're taking this hour to talk about the year in Wisconsin politics. It's a jam-packed conversation, and you are part of it. You can call us anytime with a question about state politics or your take on what's happening in the Capitol. 1-800-642-1234 is the number to call. You can also email your thoughts to ideas@WPR.org. Molly Beck covers state politics and government for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and she's here with us. Molly, thanks for joining this discussion.
Great to be here.
And also in studio here is our very own Sean Johnson. He's Wisconsin Public Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief, and he co-hosts the WPR Politics podcast. Sean, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You know, we can't talk about 2019 in Wisconsin politics without talking about 2018, the end of the year last year and that extraordinary lame duck legislative session. Sean, put this into perspective for us. How significant was that in starting off 2019?
I think it's still significant, you know, in hindsight with the year past us, because whenever you talk to people, you know, the major decision makers in state government about kind of where things went wrong between Republicans and Democrats this year, and you could point to a lot of examples where they did, they all kind of bring it back, especially Democrats, to that lame duck. I mean, they feel like that was sort of the original sin in this relationship that developed in 2019, where, you know, Democrats had been so focused on everything Scott Walker did for 8 years. Wanted to beat him badly, did in a close election. And then, you know, Tony Evers, the Democratic governor's powers were reduced before he took office, or Attorney General Josh Calls. And, you know, I don't think that they ever quite got over that in a way. And that sort of set the table for everything that came after it.
Yeah. I mean, Republicans claimed that that was a way to ensure equal separation of powers in state government. Democrats said it was taking power away from the new administration. Molly, how do you think that set the tone for in the Capitol for the start of 2019?
Sean's absolutely right. I mean, after that, there was really no agreement that could be found between the new Democratic administration and the Republican legislature. It seems like there's, you know, disagreement on how to move forward on just small things. There's also elements of those lame duck laws that they still haven't figured out how to navigate, which one example is the ability of the attorney general to settle lawsuits. The new laws require the Republican-controlled Finance Committee to sign off on those settlements. And because of the nature of, you know, legal cases, sometimes privacy is, you know, really wanted by one of the parties, and the legislature, which is a public body, and it hasn't really figured out how to settle those cases that will, you know, be to the benefit of taxpayers. So there are cases that are out there that are just kind of languishing.
Molly, did you see this affect how much the state legislature actually managed to get done this year?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's a direct correlation, but the Democrats are certainly making that case. I looked up how many laws were enacted in every previous session until this one, and I think lawmakers are on track to be passing the fewest number of bills that become laws in history.
Molly Beck covers the state capitol for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief. And we're wondering what you think. What did you hear from Wisconsin's elected officials in 2019 that sticks with you? What bills passed in state government this year that you support, or where do you think lawmakers should try to make progress soon? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Sean, we saw a lot of legal challenges to the laws that passed in the lame duck session. Give us a quick recap. Where do those actually stand?
Okay, I think I'm up to speed on all these, but Molly, you should step in if I miss something here. You had basically four legal challenges against these, one by League of Women Voters, which basically said the whole extraordinary session where these laws were passed was unconstitutional because legislators can't do that. The state Supreme Court said, you're wrong. Yes, they can. So that case is done. You have a case that was filed by the Service Employees International Union, SEIU. It was a separation of powers lawsuit. That's in state court. That is still before the state Supreme Court. There was, and then these last two were more tricky. They're in federal court. There's one filed by one Wisconsin institute, and that is against all the voting law changes that were included as part of the lame duck. That, you know, those voting law changes were put on hold by a federal judge, and that case is just sort of sitting there in limbo in the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago. Nobody's quite sure why, but those laws are still on hold. And then you have this lawsuit by the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, also in federal court, also a separation of powers case that has also been appealed to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago. The judge who took it initially said it wasn't didn't belong in his court. It was a state court issue.
So these are things that we still have to watch and are having an impact on state laws.
Yeah. And I mean, the stuff with the attorney general, I think, specifically is the one that seems to be having, you know, the biggest tangible effect. You know, when the state attorney general and the state's budget committee can't agree on how the process works and you've got some real money involved in terms of these settlements, that you know, I think you saw it play out a little bit this past year where there was some high drama over the process and we don't know exactly what they're going to agree to there.
All right, let's bring in Rich from Rhinelander now to the State Capitol Report. Rich, what's your take?
Thank you. The selection of Wisconsin's largest city, Milwaukee, as the site for the Democratic National Convention in 7 months was, when it happened, a point of pride for Wisconsinites. I think, however, what Wisconsin citizens are going to discover is that the racial politics of this state, its incarceration rates, its housing patterns, its income distribution patterns are going to be laid bare in a national spotlight.
All right, Rich, thanks for that. You know, we've got the DNC coming up next year in Milwaukee. Molly, how much do you think racial politics will come up there? And we do know that lawmakers are putting out of Milwaukee are putting together a package of bills trying to address racial disparities in Wisconsin.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think those issues will absolutely be part of the conversation, especially by probably all of the Democratic presidential candidates that come through here. And we might see some of those issues come up with President Donald Trump when he visits the state too, because those are the issues that, have had persistent gaps between how the world in Wisconsin affects its Black residents and white residents, you know, in education and income and housing and all those issues that Rich mentioned. So I think that those issues will be, you know, maybe not front and center, but will be part of the conversation.
And Sean, how do we try to parse the ideas of racial inequity and partisanship? I mean, it's all kind of in this big tangle.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a partisan convention that's going to bring this national spotlight to Wisconsin. And so it's through that spotlight that we're going to learn more about ourselves in a way. I think you're going to see Milwaukee for a time in 2020 be covered almost like local news at a national scale, where all these reporters come in and take a fresh look at it. And, you know, the racial disparities there are definitely something that are striking.
Sean Johnson and Molly Beck are here with us on the State Capitol Report this hour, and there's space for you in this conversation. We're recapping 2019, and we want to know, did you follow the state budgeting process? What do you think about the final product? Did your priorities get in? What questions do you have about Wisconsin's place in the 2020 elections? And will you go to see candidates when they visit? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. I'm Keely Boltina. You're listening to the State Capitol Report. It's the morning show here on the Ideas Network. The state budget sets priorities for Wisconsin, and it doles out the money to support those goals. It's not without some negotiation, but state lawmakers and the governor settled on the latest two-year plan. We're talking about it here on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina, and this is The Morning Show. There's room for you in this discussion. Did you follow the state budget? What do you think about what got money and what was left on the table? Where do you think Wisconsin should set priorities for 2020 and beyond? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Email your thoughts, your ideas, your questions to ideas@WPR.org. We've got two journalists here on the State Capitol Report talking about the highs and the lows of 2019 in politics. WPR's Sean Johnson is here, and Molly Beck of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel stays with us. Molly, the first order of business for state government was to pass a budget this year. How did this season compare to what you've seen in the past?
Well, there was a lot of disagreement, as you know, I'm sure everybody expected, with a Democratic governor and a Republican legislature. Governor Tony Evers introduced his proposed spending plan for the next 2 years, and the Republican lawmakers on the Finance Committee threw out pretty much every major proposal he wanted, including expanding Medicaid, things that he ran on during his campaign. And the final product ended up being something much different than the governor introduced, obviously. But there were some areas that they agreed on, even though they have big differences. It provides the largest influx of cash for roads in years, for example. Also through the veto process, Governor Evers added $65 million more dollars for schools, which Republicans were not happy that he used his veto power to do that, and pretty quickly introduced a proposed constitutional amendment to keep him from doing that again.
And we should say, though, too, that Governor Evers' budget proposal included some things that we knew would not pass, that Republican mm-hmm. legislators would not agree to, and honestly right. did not have a whole lot of detail to them sometimes.
The one proposal that comes to mind right now, and I'm sure there are others, but the one proposal is legalizing marijuana for recreational use. That is not something that anyone in the Republican caucuses have talked about in loud voices about wanting. So that was one proposal that I think everyone knew just wasn't going to make it.
Right. And Rick from La Crosse wants to weigh in on that. Rick, welcome to the morning show.
Well, good morning.
Hi there. What did you want to say about the marijuana legislation?
Well, I basically agree with her. To try to stuff both recreational and medical marijuana through the system, well, that was the dumbest thing they ever could have done. If we go back and do it right and bring in medical marijuana only and just see how it goes. I mean, we're surrounded by states that have, you know, different marijuana laws. It's a good thing about our country. We can do what we want as our state. But I think Evers just needs to bring it back in there. I'm a longtime opioid user, 40 years, 40 years. I want to get off them. But when we go to our condo in Florida, it's really nice because it's legal there. But what can I say? I just wish they'd not give up. And if they can legalize it for medical, I think that'll help with the opioid also.
Rick, thank you for sharing your story about medical marijuana and the path that you see forward. Sean, where are we at with this?
There has been some movement on this issue. You know, there's a new bill that would legalize medical marijuana that was introduced by Republican mm-hmm. lawmakers. There's also a bipartisan bill out there, but the Republican bill was really written by Republicans for Republicans. They looked at actually laws in other states that are under Republican control where they have medical marijuana and said, what could they pass here? Maybe we can pass that here. And I guess to oversimplify it, it's just a more highly regulated system where you legalize medical marijuana with a doctor's prescription. And that is, it's in the state assembly and the Senate. It's probably not going to get a hearing in either chamber if legislative leaders are correct. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss addressed this in year-end interviews and said, you know, he's definitely open to the idea, thinks it's going to happen, but he thinks that a hearing would be counterproductive this year because it would ignite some of the, you know, I guess the partisan arguments that you hear over this issue sometimes. So it's probably not going to happen in 2020, But it, I think the fact that you have Republican lawmakers, Mary Felskowski, the sponsor in the assembly, coming out and sponsoring something like this is a sign that it has momentum.
Yeah. State Representative Felskowski was on this program and talked with us for about half an hour about it, asking for that hearing, saying, you know, this is the beginning of the conversation. So certainly we'll make sure that there's a link to that conversation on our website, WPR.org/mornings. Moving on from medical marijuana, though, we saw a few more bills in the first half of the year after the budget takes precedence. Molly, what priorities did each party get passed in the budget, though? Where were the wins?
Well, I think one of the big things that they wanted to do, which they haven't been able to do in a long time, is they added a few more penalties for drunken driving. That was on the Republican side, Senator Alberta Darling and Representative Jim Ott, they've been attempting to do those things for a very long time, and it just hasn't really gotten any traction in the way that they've wanted. So they've added some more penalties in that way. Otherwise, there have been a lot of talk about homelessness funding, and the governor and Republican lawmakers both want to add more funding there, but they haven't figured out a way to make that happen. And like Sean, going back to the medical marijuana proposal, I think that's something that we're going to hear more of before the session's over. It doesn't sound like there's, you know, really any appetite in the Senate to do it, but there seems to be in the Assembly. And I just want to correct something I said before. Governor Evers did not propose to legalize recreational marijuana. He proposed to decriminalize some amounts of it. So that's definitely a topic that's going to come back.
Molly Beck covers the state capitol for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief. We're talking with both of them here on the State Capitol Report today. Your thoughts and ideas welcome at 800-642-1234, or you can email us as Matt did at ideas@WPR.org. Matt emailed to say, in a state sharply divided, Republicans hold every chair and co-chair in the entire legislature. How is this fair? Sean, can you help us understand who gets a seat at what table?
The majority party in the chambers decide, basically. When you win control of the Assembly or the Senate, that's how it goes. So they won the majority of districts. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is the one making the calls in the Senate. Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald in the Speaker Voss in the Assembly, Senator Fitzgerald in the Senate. We could talk at length, I guess, about why we have such like a closely divided state and a lopsided legislature. There's the map that was drawn by Republicans, which is a factor, of course. There's also the districting map that decides
who votes and who gets us. Yeah.
They decided the district lines in 2011, and that's a huge factor. Mm-hmm. But also the way that people are spread out in the state. We have, densely packed Democratic vote centers in Madison, Milwaukee, that are very, helpful for Democrats in statewide elections, but they're not spread out in races for the Assembly. So that's how it goes. I mean, we don't, when it comes time to pick committee chairs, it's majority rules.
That's how it works. Molly, one of the biggest political battles we saw in the Capitol this year was cabinet secretary confirmations or lack mm-hmm. thereof. What effect did that no vote have when it came to Governor Evers' nominee for Wisconsin's Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection? Because lawmakers rejected his nominee.
Yeah, I think that episode had us maybe not as a loud effect, but there was it was just another low point in the, saga of the relationship between the administration and the legislature. Governor Evers came into the Senate chamber to watch them fire his agriculture secretary, which is, I don't believe any sitting governor's ever done anything like that. Afterward, he was very upset. He called the firing BS, only he didn't use the abbreviation. So he was not happy. And it was just, another example of it seems like a total breakdown between both parties, but the Republican lawmakers said that they were not happy with the way Agriculture Secretary Brad Path ran the agency. They were not happy about certain funding decisions. He also wrote them a public letter saying he wasn't happy with how they were handling funding, and I think that didn't go over well, obviously. So there are a lot of reasons there, but it was just another example of where that relationship is right now.
All right. We're sensing a theme here when it comes to that Republicans and Democrats trying to work together and not being overly successful, I think, by most standards this session. We'll continue talking about it. Up next is news, but the state capitol report goes on. We're looking back at the year in politics here in Wisconsin. Our guests are Sean Johnson and Molly Beck staying with us. And we're taking your questions, your comments about politics and policies at 800-642-1234. You can also send us an email to ideas@WPR.org. I'm Keely Boltina. You're listening to The Morning Show, and this is the Ideas Network. This edition of the State Capitol Report is giving us a chance to pause, to look back and assess what's happened in the last 12 months and what it all means. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. We have two journalists here who know how the state capitol works and what's changing in those echoing halls. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief. Molly Beck covers state politics and government for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And you're part of this conversation. What questions do you have about Wisconsin's place in the 2020 presidential election? What topics do you think we need to cover more of and talk about more, prioritize, maybe education or criminal justice reform? Let's talk about it at 800-642-1234. And Linda from Eau Claire wants to join the conversation now. Linda, thanks for calling.
Well, thanks for taking my call. I think the topic that needs really to be focused on is the nursing faculty shortage in Wisconsin. All nurse education leadership three-year, four-year programs moved to get a $10 million budget item passed to begin to address this problem. It won't address it fully, but it will start a solution. And unfortunately, it did not go through. So we are in a situation where we are down right now 120 nursing faculty positions in Wisconsin, and it's very hard to attract nursing faculty to Wisconsin. So given the changes in our demographics, the needs for nursing out in the healthcare arena, we're in a big predicament.
All right, Linda, thank you so much for bringing up that priority to you. And Molly, I hear Linda there saying, you know, we really need this. It didn't make the cut.
Yeah, so there was, I believe, about $230 million of funding, I think, the governor proposed to kind of help those areas of skilled workers where shortages are. I think that's, you know, it could be, that was not something that was one of the major issues that was discussed, you know, between the legislature and the governor's administration. But I think, you know, we might be able to see that as another example of, you know, there just wasn't a lot of the governor's proposals that were kept in the budget.
And different but related, Governor Evers does have a task force on caregiving that is looking, especially as Linda mentioned, the demographics changing in Wisconsin, our aging population, really trying to figure out how to improve conditions for direct care workers, support for family caregivers, those sorts of things. So taking some different aspects on that priority in state government for sure. Sean, I do want to circle back before we get into more issues, though, to the governor's cabinet appointees. Molly talked a little bit about the DATCAP secretary's no vote, but we still have other appointees of Governor Evers that haven't been confirmed yet. What should we be watching during 2020?
I guess you should be watching the Wisconsin State Senate and what Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald says about, you know, these appointees. I think going into this year, my expectation was that a lot of Evers' cabinet secretaries would not be confirmed, but they would just go on and do their jobs without confirmation. You know, you can be basically a cabinet secretary without the Senate's okay.
I mean, I walked down the hall and talked
with
you about
this. Yeah, I told so many people
this.
Like, look,
said,
no, they're just
going
to run
right?
their agencies. It's they just don't need confirmation.
It's fine.
Because typically the Senate has not fired anybody.
Right.
And they did. So, you know, the calculus has changed now. And once they fired one cabinet secretary, they definitely could do it again. I mean, it was a power they always had but never used. And now that they've used it, it kind of opens that door and definitely changes the relationship between the governor's office and the Senate.
Yeah. Molly, anything you need to add about cabinet secretaries as we watch what happens next?
I think there are three secretaries that have not yet been confirmed, and lawmakers are on record of having concerns with. They include the Department of Transportation Secretary Craig Thompson and the licensing agency, that Secretary Don Krim, also the Secretary of the Department of Health Services, Andrea Palm. Some lawmakers are not necessarily unhappy with her, but people in her senior staff level. One person previously worked for Planned Parenthood, and one Republican lawmaker anyway has been very concerned about that. So there are, you know, a handful of high profile agency secretaries that still have not been confirmed. There's concerns about them. But like Sean said, I don't really have a great feeling about whether they're actually going to, you know, fire somebody again and go through all that again, or just, you know, leave them kind of hanging out there without confirmation.
And the confirmation would be certainly job security, but would it change any of their powers, their pay, anything like that?
No. It would just, you know, they right now they're, you know, just wondering if they're going to, you know, the Senate's going to come in and tell them that they don't have a job anymore, but they can do their job until then.
All right. Molly Beck covers the state capitol for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief. And we're trying our best to take an hour and recap everything that is important that's happened in 2019 and still look ahead to state politics in 2020. And you're part of this discussion. What did you see state lawmakers doing this year that you feel like are great accomplishments? Where did you see that bipartisan spirit? Or where did you see the greatest division? And what do you hope for in state politics as we enter a new year? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. There's room for you in the discussion right now as we move through more topics, including the bills and voter rolls. There were some moves this year from each side of divided government, pretty political. Molly, which moments or bills for this year fall into that like overtly political category for you?
I don't know if it was overtly political, but there was a moment in recent weeks where the assembly took up a resolution to formally call the tree in the middle of the rotunda a Christmas tree, because Governor Evers had called it a holiday tree, I think in a press release or something like that. And that was just another one of those moments where you feel like, I don't know how they're going to come to some sort of agreement on anything, because, they were, you know, using a floor session to talk about their disagreements about a tree.
And certainly the words we use matter. But with all of these other priorities mm-hmm. we're talking about, for that to come up and be a place of clash, that seemed different to you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sean, a judge recently ruled in favor of a conservative legal group about how the state's voter rolls should be managed, when and who should be taken off of them. We've got an appeal filed. The Wisconsin Election Commission members are split on this. What should we watch as this moves forward?
Well, actually, today we should watch the Wisconsin Elections Commission. They are going to meet on this again. The last time that they met to discuss this, they couldn't decide what to do. So we had somebody say earlier, what's the deal with committees all being run by one party in the state? That's not the case with the Elections Commission. When they created that, they made it an even 3-3 split between Republicans and Democrats. And amazingly, they still get stuff done. A lot of the times they agree on things. But on issues like this, the last time it came up for a vote, they split 3-3 Republicans and Democrats. So We'll be watching them, and essentially what's at play is they had earlier this year decided on a bipartisan vote to send a mailer to 200,000-plus voters in Wisconsin who were suspected to have moved under this multi-state system that tracks, you know, voters through stuff like DMV records. So the commission decided, we're going to send this mailer to these people, but we're not going to remove them from the voter rolls immediately. We're not going to do that automatically until 2021. The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty said, no, you can't do that. You have to do it this year if they don't respond within 30 days. A judge agreed, and so that's kind of where things stand right now, is that this circuit court judge in Wisconsin said you have to remove these names from the rolls immediately. This has now been appealed. It's now in federal court. And now the Elections Commission will decide again today whether they want to take some action.
And put this into context, why do people care about those voter rolls?
People care because Wisconsin is just so close. You know, you look at the last few elections here, and they've all been decided by just razor-thin margins. Tony Evers was kind of the landslide of the bunch because he was up over a 1% margin over Scott Walker. Donald Trump was under 1%. The state Supreme Court race this year, where Brian Hagedorn won for conservatives, was under 1%. You look back at, you know, the 2000-2004 presidential elections. I know that seems like a long time ago, but they were even closer than Donald Trump's elections. I mean, Wisconsin is just such a close state, and it's so pivotal in the 2020 elections, potentially given the Electoral College math, that's why everything is watched here.
Joan from Eau Claire wants to join the discussion now. Joan, thanks for being here on the State Capitol Report.
Good morning. My comment is that Robin Voss, Scott Fitzgerald, and the Republicans in our legislative bodies have made everything as difficult as possible for Governor Evers to get anything accomplished. And it's partisan with regard to, and shame on them. Shame on them. They were hired, they were elected to serve the citizens of the state, not to serve their partisan interests and their political donors. So shame on them. In any case, and I'm referring to the Republicans when I say that, in any case, with regard to the voting rolls, it's partisan politics. It's voter suppression, pure and simple. And thank you very much for allowing me to speak.
Joan, thanks for your comments. Molly, I expect you hear that concept of that idea that it's voter suppression when it comes to the rolls on one side or the other.
Right. You hear that from the Democratic side quite often. And from the Republican side, they say this is a state law. You know, it requires that these voter registrations be removed. But the Elections Commission, the reason why they haven't, or the reason that they gave to back up their decision not to do that immediately was they don't believe that the information they have is completely reliable.
All right. We'll keep talking about it as we continue on the State Capitol Report with Molly Beck and Sean Johnson, talking about the year in politics here in Wisconsin and getting a little glimpse into 2020. There's room for you in the conversation. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the legislature and the governor's office working together? Are you concerned about Lincoln Hills or about the Foxconn deal? You can email ideas@WPR.org. This is The Morning Show. I'm Keeley Boltina, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. Thank you for joining us for the State Capitol Report. Our guests are catching us up on what made 2019 a unique year for Wisconsin politics. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keeley Boltina, and there's still time for your call. What are your priorities going into 2020 for Wisconsin's state lawmakers? Let us know at 800-642-1234. We've got WPR's Sean Johnson here in studio, and Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter Molly Beck is in on this discussion, and Bill from Green Bay wants to join the conversation. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you very much.
Hi, what are you thinking today?
I'm thinking about homeless people whom I see every day in Green Bay on my walks. And the certain Republican senators who seem to be mysteriously unnamed have decided that we really don't have to approve another $3 million that was funded for, because they just don't Well, they don't have to give us a reason. They just think it's wrong, whatever. I'd like to know who they are.
Interesting. Bill has a question about, you know, funding aid for the homeless and how to figure out how to navigate what we see in the hearings and what happens in negotiations. Sean?
Yeah, this is funding that was, I mean, it was originally, I guess, recommended by this Council on Homelessness that was formed by former Republican Governor Scott Walker. It's been embraced by a number of Republican lawmakers in the state assembly. Actually, there's been funding that's passed there. It was included in the budget, which was signed by Governor Tony Evers. But the funding in the budget was put into an account controlled by the legislature's budget committee. So essentially, it has to pass again. And, you know, we know that there are Republican senators who have objections to it, but kind of the way that you know, the way that the system is set up for this funding, they don't have to come out and say why. You know, it's not something that has to get put to a vote in a public setting and you see who the ayes and the nays are. We just know that there are Republican senators who are against it. You know, in the Senate, there has been a kind of a small caucus of conservative Republicans who have had the ability to tie things up on a number of issues. So they haven't been out and vocal on this one. So it's tough to name names. But, you know, that's kind of where things stand with that $3.5 million a year.
All right. The closure of Lincoln Hills and implementation of smaller regional juvenile correction facilities was a bipartisan priority. But the governor recently said that the 2021 deadline set to make those changes was unlikely without more funding. Molly, how did this Lincoln Hills plan get stuck?
Yeah, it doesn't look like when we talk to the legislative leaders about it and Governor Evers and the lieutenant governor and pretty much everybody who is in a leadership position. I don't think that anyone has a good feeling about meeting that deadline in the summer of 2021. And it, you know, there are a lot of reasons for that. But one being there's a very big gap in funding between what the legislature has allocated for that project and what the administration says is needed to actually make it happen. To close the facility, which is north of Wausau, and also open these smaller facilities around the state, some run by the state and some run by counties. That's a huge, huge project to do, and I think everybody knew that. But there was an urgency to close the facility, which still has the same issues that it had before in terms of safety for the teen inmates who are there and also the staff. But you know, there's more than $100 million between what the legislature is looking at and what the governor's administration, the Department of Corrections, is looking at to make that whole project happen. So the assembly speaker said recently that he would be open to just starting with a couple facilities to see how that goes. Governor Evers said he's willing to do anything to just get it going. It sounds like he would back that. But that's not probably not going to close the Lincoln Hills prison doing it that way.
And broader criminal justice reform. Art from Milwaukee wants to speak to that. Art, welcome to the State Capitol Report.
Yes. Well, it's very frustrating. Wisconsin's incarcerating 23 going on 25,000 people. Minnesota, with similar population, is somewhere between 8,000 and 9,000. We've had states around the country run by Republicans, Texas, Oklahoma, et cetera, seriously dealing with mass incarceration. And the feeble attempts to get bipartisan agreement here were defeated by the Republican caucus hounding a few Republican folks, including Tommy Thompson, but current people in the legislature who agreed to some moderate proposals and then had to back off. So something has to be done. We're underfunding schools and we're locking up so many people that should be getting treatment. And, you know, many people are being sent back to prison because of petty rule violations rather than new crimes. It's a large percentage of the new people we're putting back in prison.
All right, Art, thank you so much for raising your concerns and setting your priorities for 2020. We're talking with Molly Beck, who covers the state capitol for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief here on the State Capitol Report, working through some of the things that happened in 2019 and what to watch for as we enter the new year. Sean, we should really just talk a little bit about Foxconn. It didn't happen all this year, but Wisconsin made an unprecedented deal with Foxconn Technology Group, really captivated attention for several months. We recently learned that the deal may see some changes because the company's seen some changes. I mean, what is this back and forth all about?
Yeah, Foxconn's the story of Foxconn in 2019 was such a roller coaster. I mean, earlier this year, there was talk that, wow, Foxconn just might not build anything in Wisconsin. And it seemed like that for a day or two until they came out and said, well, yeah, we're going to build something. Then the president got involved. And so we're constantly like wondering what Foxconn is going to build in its southeast Wisconsin plant. We do know that they are building a large plant there, a large facility, about 1 million square feet. It's not the 22 million square foot facility that they originally promised, but it is big. They are going to be building things there in the near future, it sounds like. But what's happening now is that Governor Tony Evers is saying, I think we need to renegotiate this deal because Foxconn, you are not building the Generation 10.5 LCD plant that you originally promised. So in other words, you're not going to be able to be building the largest, most technologically advanced screens in the world here. That is what was called for in your contract. So we need to talk or you're not going to get these job credits from the state.
Yeah, that should be really, really interesting, especially as we work through the Economic Development Board and try to figure all of this out together. Molly, I want to make sure you have a chance to help us understand a little bit more from the halls of the state capitol. How do you see governing work in the state capitol changing in election years? We've got big elections coming up in 2020.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think you're just not going to see much going on in the halls of the Capitol this year. You know, next year. The session is going to, I've heard, maybe be over by February. The lawmakers are talking about doing some sort of property tax measure. But other than that, you know, I don't see you're not going to see much going on in the Capitol. The Senate leader is running for Congress, so he's busy doing that. There's, you know, a lot of legislative elections that the assembly speaker is very focused on. He's said that he wants to, you know, get to a point where he can have a 2/3 majority to override Governor Evers' vetoes. And then also we have the presidential race, like Sean talked about earlier. I think at some point there's just going to be candidates here every day, and we're just going to be busy with that.
Right. And so, Sean, do you think it's more of a factor of needing to be focused on the election for Wisconsin lawmakers? Or is it an issue of we don't want to do anything that could jeopardize our reelection? Some combination?
I mean, I think it's a continuation of what we saw in 2019. Molly mentioned the small number of laws that have been enacted under Governor Evers and the Republican legislature. And so they kind of know how each other work at this point. And yeah, as we get closer to that election, I don't think they're going to want to come together for like a kumbaya moment in early 2019. And there's just not, under the schedule that they set for themselves, there's just not going to be that much time to get stuff done. I think that property tax bill is going to be one we're talking about in the next couple months, because that's the state probably, you know, potentially spending money to lower property taxes at the lower level. And we'll see what else they bring up. You know, I would say that it's probably something we haven't even thought of, but that would involve Republican legislators and the Democratic governor kind of cutting a deal, kind of behind closed doors. And I just don't know how much that's going to happen.
All right. Thank you both. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief. Molly Beck covers state politics and government for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This has been the State Capitol Report. I'm Keely Boltina. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.